Turkey says that it's more determined than ever to secure its southern border. The military has intensified airstrikes on Kurdish fighters in northern Syria and Iraq. So what's caused this latest escalation and who are the main players? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Adrian Finnegan. Tension has increased along Turkey's border with northern Syria. The Turkish Defence Ministry says that its forces have hit nearly 500 targets in Kurdish-held areas since Sunday. Turkey is also reporting casualties among fighters from the SDF, the Syrian Democratic Forces. The strikes follow a bombing in Istanbul 10 days ago, for which Turkey blames the outlawed Kurdish group, the PKK. Ankara says that it's targeting bases in Syria belonging to the YPG, a Kurdish group with links to the PKK. Since 2016, Turkish forces have conducted three ground operations to clear YPG fighters from northern Syria. Now, the president is promising to conduct another offensive.
SİHA'larla yaptığımız operasyonlar...
Our operations with planes, cannons and drones are only the beginning. From Hatay to Hakkari, our determination to secure all of our southern border with a safe zone, so as to remove the possibility of attacking our country's lands, is stronger today than ever before.
Here's a look at the areas of control. Turkey is striking targets in the border area near Manbij, which is under SDF control, the region in yellow. Free Syrian army fighters control the areas in green, from where they support Turkish military offensives. Turkish Syrian forces also control the purple parts here. And the government of Bashar al-Assad has control over most of the country in red, although ISIL fighters are still present in the desert in the east. Al Jazeera's Sinem Kosyolu has a report now from the Turkish border with Syria.
Turkey continues to target the Syrian Kurdish fighter group in northern Syria through a wide-scale air campaign that was started on Sunday morning. The decision to target the group came after the officials accused the YPG of planning and carrying out the Istanbul bomb attack 1 week before. The wide-scale operation continued with shellings from the Turkish side towards the YPG positions in northern Syria. And the YPGs have been shelling the Turkish side as well. The YPG and PKK officers say that they're not targeting the civilian areas. However, civilian areas in southeastern Turkish cities and rebel-held regions in northern Syria have been targeted, resulting in civilian deaths. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan vows to clear his country's borders with Syria from what he calls terrorism, meaning that he wants to get the armed Kurdish fighter group out of this region to create a safe corridor. It is not only because Ankara doesn't want neighbors of armed groups in its southern border, but also Ankara wants to pave the way for the millions of Syrian refugees for their voluntary return back to their homes. Sinem Kösoğlu, Al Jazeera, for Inside Story in Kilis at Turkish-Syria border crossing.
The SDF is an alliance of local Syrian opposition fighters founded by the US in 2015. Washington began arming them shortly before an offensive to recapture the northern city of Raqqa from ISIL. It's made up of largely Kurdish fighters from the YPG. The SDF also includes Arab, Turkmen and Armenian fighters. And there have been concerns about US support, especially after the group launched operations in Arab-majority areas of northeastern Syria. So let's bring in our guests for today's discussion. From Oxford in the UK, we're joined by Galip Dalay, a non-resident senior fellow at the Middle East Council on Global Affairs. Here in Doha is Mahjoub Zoueri, director of the Gulf Studies Centre at Qatar University. And from Washington, D.C., we're joined by Lawrence Korb, a former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defence and senior fellow at the Centre for American Progress. Gentlemen, a warm welcome to you all. Galip, we'll start with you. What are Turkey's intentions in northern Syria? Is it going to launch a ground attack?
Well, I think the Turkey's intention is precisely what President Erdogan has been saying. Like, one thing about President Erdogan, usually he did what he said that he will do. Thus far, His intention is clearly to do another military operations. And firstly, it will be an airstrikes, but I think the intention is to undertake another military operations as well too. That has been the goal for quite some times. But obviously, the regional and international politics will define the nature and then the depth of any such operations, because the U.S. and Russia are major players in the other side of the border. So therefore, like, for any ground invasions, for any ground operations, the U.S. and the Russian factors will feature in heavily in the conversation.
Okay. Mahcup Zuhairi, if Turkey were to begin a ground offensive in northern Syria, would it be legal under international law?
As you know, this is a conflict zone, and basically Turkey has indicated many times that it will not allow any kind of threat to its stability, regardless from where. I think the issue here is not about international law will accept or not. It's about how country perceives what's happening. I think Turkey is looking at what happened in Taksim area and Istanbul 2 weeks ago as a crossing the red line, and the UPG are responsible of that, and I think they try to send a clear message that this should not happen and we will not allow this to happen again. This happens, as you know, in a context where the whole issue of Syria is being putting aside because basically the most important players. And here I talk about Russia and Iran. They have different issues they are busy in. And Turkey does not want to be left alone with the crisis on their border. So I think the Turkish perception that the crisis is behind my backyard and I cannot leave it without action.
Lawrence Korb, how does Washington view what President Erdogan says or is threatening to do?
Well, basically, we do not agree with President Erdogan that all of the Kurds are terrorists. Not everybody in the YPG is part of the PKK. The YPG, who we're supporting to deal with ISIS. That's how we first got involved when the Iraqis asked us to come back after ISIS almost threw the government after we had withdrawn. We also want to protect the rebels who are fighting against Assad. So we do not want to see Turkey have a ground invasion here. We want to keep our good relations because they're a very, very productive voice for us in dealing with Putin over this horrible war in Ukraine.
Galip, does President Erdogan care what his ally, the U.S., thinks?
Well, I think, it will care what the U.S. says, but in the end, the decision will be made in Ankara. Obviously, there is a U.S. presence there that will turn into a major crisis, probably in the relationship if and when another military operation takes place. Let's not forget the 2019 that created a major storm in the U.S.-Turkish relationship. But at the end of the day, the Ankara will probably make its decision based on its own consideration and based on its own concerns. So, yes, what U.S. says is a factor. What Russia says is a factor. Probably, I will say the Russian factor is at this stage even more important than the U.S. factors, given the geographical location for which the Turkey is planning to undertake an operation. So, therefore, I would say that what Russia also cares is a major factor. But I think that the Turkey would be willing to have a major crisis in its relation with the U.S. If this is what it requires for it to undertake the operations.
We'll come to Russia and Iran, another actor on the ground in Syria in just a moment, and also Israel, which has an interest in what's going on. But Lawrence, I mean, you wanted to come in there on that particular answer about whether President Erdogan particularly cares about what the U.S. thinks about what's going on in his own backyard.
No, I don't think he does, because he has shown he can act independently of us. He bought Russian air defense missiles. And in the war between Azerbaijan and Armenia, he didn't care what we thought. No, I think He sees this as an existential threat, particularly after the November 13th bombing.
Mahjoub Zoweri, what about the timing? Lawrence mentioned the bombing. Is this purely to do with the bombing in Istanbul, or is there more to this? Does President Erdogan have one eye on his hopes for re-election next year? Is the president perhaps calculating that there's an opportunity here because his allies, his Western allies, are distracted at the moment by what's going on in Ukraine?
It's the trigger. I mean, if you look at it in a wider context, you see that in recent months since February, Turkey is playing a major role in a major conflict with what's happening in between Russia and Ukraine. And actually, Turkey is becoming the main access point to Russia, to the West, and actually the main communicator between the West and Russia. So I think Turkey is playing a major role now. And I think what happened in Taksim was a trigger just to push for action. For months now, in the recent, I think, 18 months, Turkey was not happy of what happened in north of Syria. And Turkey is planning, actually, to send back a number of Syrian refugees to Syria. And they wanted to make sure that northern of Syria is stable, is secure. And I think if these kind of things will continue, I think it will be backfire on Turkey. They will not be able to go on their plan to return some of the Syrians to their own home country. So there are two things you have to consider. One is the context, which basically what's happened when it comes to Russia, Ukraine, and the role of Turkey, and also to what happened inside Turkey, which related to returning Syrians and the future, the next year, and the election in Turkey, and what Recep Tayyip Erdogan is looking for, benefiting from all those opportunities and redirect them in a way that he benefits from them at the end.
Yeah, okay, Galip, is it too cynical of me to say that, well, President Erdogan has an eye on re-election next year, and it's predicted to be a tight race. So, of course, you know, an operation on this scale on the border with Syria would do him good, wouldn't it, electorally?
Well, an operation will certainly strengthen the nationalist feeling in the countries, and then the government is in coalition with the Nationalist Action Party. So, in this regard, yes, that will be popular electorally. But I think if you look at the number of the previous operations, so I mean 2018, 2019, so the winter operations took place when there was also quite a long time to election as well too. But yes, I mean the operation of such will probably serve also electorally the government well in the coming elections.
Lawrence Kolb, what are the implications for the NATO alliance of this?
Well, basically, we also are concerned about Iran's role in here. We still haven't been able to get the nuclear talks back on track. Iran announced that it's come close at a second site now to getting a nuclear weapon. We're concerned about Russia, what they're doing in Ukraine. And basically, we would like them to, end this horrible war. We're also concerned about stability in the in the government in Iraq, because of if this thing gets out of hand in northern Syria, and the ISIS is able to reconstitute itself because nobody's paying attention to them, that would obviously undermine the government in Iraq. So all of these things are interrelated. You've got Russia, you've got Turkey, you've got Syria, and don't forget, you still have the Syrian civil war where Russia is working with Syria and Iran to keep the Assad in power.
Mahjoub Zoweri, after Russia withdrew the bulk of its forces from Syria, Iran was the only pro-Assad country to have a significant military presence in Syria. Israel is concerned about that, as Lawrence was just telling us, and it has continued to carry out air raids in Syria. What are the implications of this potential Turkish ground offensive in northern Syria, then, for both Iran and for Israel?
it's obvious the more these kind of operation continue, it means basically there is no light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the future of Syria. Basically, country like Syria is becoming fragile state, is become the really a failed state actually. Where many players are playing on the ground, and none of them is actually the government of Syria. I mean, today a major general of Iran was killed in Damascus, and Iran is accusing Israel of that. And this is added to a number of those Iranians who were killed in the last 5-7 years in Syria through the Israelis. So actually, there is an ongoing confrontation. Or actually, war between Iran and Israel in Syria, on the land of Syria, basically, and that is a major, a major conflict between both sides. I think Israeli never dream of it, because Iran has been basically on the border with Israelis, and that's an issue happened actually because Russia did offer Israel under Benjamin Netanyahu the green light to hit Iranians without any kind of regret. So basically, what's happening now is complicate the relations between Russia and Iran, and Russia now in need for Iran, on one side. On the other side, it may improve the relation between Russia and Israel as Benjamin Netanyahu is becoming as a prime minister.
All right, but Russia at the moment pretty distracted with the war in Ukraine, Machoub. If Turkey did go into northern Syria, I mean, how would Russia react? Would it would be very vocal about it, very disapproving, but I mean, there's very little it could do.
Absolutely, they have nothing actually to stop it. I think there are a statement already. They are not happy of this. But let's remember the point I have raised already. Russia wants to have a good ties with Turkey, especially at the moment where Turkey is securing a good communication line between Russia and the West. Especially when it comes to the issue of energy, and they hope that this kind of line will continue as long as this conflict is going on. At least this is the minimum of the communication that Russia have with the international community.
Caleb, how does Syria and Iran and I suppose Iraq fit into Turkey's worldview and its view of its own backyard? Do you see a situation in which there could be any sort of reset in relations, a rapprochement, if you like, between Turkey and Syria?
Well, I think you ask a very important question. Right now, you see at the broader regional level, when it comes to Turkey's relation with the Gulf Arab state and Israel, you see a reset and a de-escalation. And normalization to be the order of the day. But when you come closer to home, meaning Turkey's policy or Turkey's relation with Syria, Iraq, and Iran, and also towards the region, Kurdish geopolitics, the escalation is the order of the day. I mean, just look at the Iran. The number of crises, the geographic scope of crises in Turkish-Iranian relations are expanding from the South Caucasus all the way to Syria, Iraq. The Iraq is the most active front in this confrontation between Turkey and Iran. So therefore, in Iraq, you see a multiple crises playing out at the same time. One of them is the Turkey-PKK dynamics. The another one is Turkish-Iranian competition taking place in Iran. That has implication on the broader national politics in Iraq, but also regional Kurdish politics. The same in Syria. So you have, like, on the one hand, President Erdogan talking about normalization with the Syrian regime, openness for a potential even meeting with the Syrian regimes. That also, to a large extent, that is coming as a result of the Putin pushing it or Russia pushing it as well. But on the other hand, we see the escalation dynamics in northern Syria. I think this contrasting image will be the order of the day for some time. But I think the new narrative of Turkey-Syria policy will be normalization and de-escalation with the central government, while at the same time doubling down on two goals. One of them is trying to send back some of the Syrian refugees currently in Turkey back to Syria, and secondly, to undermine and push back as much as the Kurdish autonomy project in Syria. think that's the that's the goal.
Lawrence Korb, as you were telling us, the US not at all happy at the prospect of a Turkish ground offensive in northern Syria, not least because there are US forces operating on the ground there. How would the US pressure President Erdogan then not to go ahead with his plans? Would it be done through diplomatic channels? Or, given that Turkey's economy is still in a bit of a mess right now, I mean, could it introduce sanctions, do you think, against Turkey?
Well, I think it could use everything that it has short of military force, because it does not want to see a Turkish invasion of Syria, because that would create all kinds of problems. It could lead to a war between Iran and Syria. Obviously, the Israelis would get involved. The United States made a decision under the Obama administration not to get involved in Syria's civil war. But if Turkey goes ahead and invades there, it's going to be very hard for us to stay out of it. And as you mentioned, we've already got American troops there. They're not getting involved in the civil war. They're still trying to deal with ISIS and the threats to Iraq. And as I mentioned before, we're hoping that Turkey can play a constructive role in getting negotiations going over the Ukrainian civil war. Remember, in July, even at the height of the Ukrainian war, basically Russia in Moscow had the Turks and the Syrians together to try and come up with some sort of solution. But their position is weakened because of what's happening in Ukraine.
And Lawrence, a very brief answer here, if you would. As we said earlier, the SDF, an alliance of local Syrian opposition fighters founded by the US. Does the US have any sympathy at all with Turkey over the fact that it's not happy with the SDF? Does it understand its beef?
Well, I think it does. It understands the problem, as my colleague pointed out, with the Syrian refugees, and that some parts of the forces, the YPG and the PKK, have done some terrible things to Turkey. But by and large, the ones we're working with are not responsible for that. Their main goal is to protect the Kurds in Iraq, not to go into Turkey. And Turkey lumps all of them together. And the PKK is not the same as the YPG. They have different goals, different tactics that they use, and different standards.
Mahcup Zuwairi, I have a feeling this is going to be the last question here. You've got about a minute and a half to answer here. One thing we haven't discussed, of course, is that these aren't empty tracts of land we're talking about here, with no one there but fighters. I mean, people live in this area, and if there's a military offensive going on, despite all of the other things that are happening in that particular part of the world, people, once again, are going to suffer and are going to be displaced. Where are they going to go? Who's going to look after them?
I think that's the human side of any conflict. My expectation that Turkish government is very sensitive to their image, and the President Erdogan, his government. So I think what has been done so far is a message that they are determined to do things. I think I'm not sure they have interest to escalate, to have any kind of operation which may affect their image. I think they want to show the Turkish people that they are determined, they are decisive, they will not allow people to influence or affect or threaten their security. However, also they are, I think, worried. They will be worried if any kind of action will lead to a bad impact on their image. That makes me feel that any kind of operation, it may attack specific targets, try to avoid a mass impact, and also keep it open. Keeping it open, I mean that there is no time limit for that. They may attack today, they make a stop for 1 week, and then target another attack. So it will not be systematic in one time, in one period.
OK. Gentlemen, there we have to end it. The news is next, and as we know, the news waits for no one. Many thanks indeed for being with us. Our guests, Galip Dalay, Mahcup Zuwairi and Lawrence Korb. Thank you also for watching. Don't forget, you can see the programme again at any time by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, Join us at our Facebook page. You'll find that at facebook.com/AJ Inside Story. And, of course, you can join the conversation on Twitter, our handle at AJ Inside Story. From me, Adrian Finnegan, and the team here in Doha, thanks for being with us. We'll see you again. Bye for now.